Osiris.
Hi, this is Jordan with Spafford, and the podcast you are listening to is part of the Osiris Network. Osiris is creating a community that connects people like you with podcasts and live experiences about artists and topics you love. They'll be doing many live events this summer around the country, which will include artist interviews, contests, and more. Sign up for the newsletter at osirispod.com to stay in the loop.
Son, you gotta work late.
Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do, but there ain't no cure for the summertime blues.
Hey everybody, this is the Helping Friendly Podcast. You're listening to the quick hit for July 25th, 2018, the second night at the Bill Graham Civic Auditorium in San Francisco, California. I'm joined by my co-host RJB, who was at the show, whereas I was not. How you doing, RJ?
Hey, man. I'm good.
Let's see. Before we dive into the show, we should tell everybody that for one of those Gorge shows on luresocial.com, I was like third place for that.
That's awesome.
And ever since then, I have tanked completely. So
I have not cracked the top 30. I think I was 30 one night, and Brad told me that was good. But I think he was just trying to make me feel better.
He might have been, but don't worry. I haven't been up there again.
I haven't hit a ton of them. I'm going to keep picking the same songs because the songs I keep picking, they haven't played. So yeah. I'll just keep trying, right?
No, I don't think that's the best strategy because, you know, they're only going to play like one of those a night. You got to lean into what you know is very likely coming, especially now that they're doing repeats as of set two at San Francisco.
And, that's true.
Yeah, you know what's coming.
You know Soul Planet's coming.
Now, don't give away all my
Okay,
picks.
Sorry. Yeah. But anyway, people should go to luresocial.com, L-U-R-E, and play against us. Yes. I think my name has HF Pod in it. I don't know if others do.
Matt's does. Mine is Roger.
Jimmy. So come join us and play against us and beat us.
Yes, the latter is the easy part. So what else can we say? Oh, we should tell people that Beyond the Pond put out an episode yesterday, I think, and they talk about, you know, the first five shows of tour and go deep on, was it the Gorge Chalk Dust?
Yeah. And, you know, like Brian and Dave have both been on HF Pod before, and I think most people who listen have at least heard us talk about them or with them, but it's really cool the dynamic we have right now where we're doing these kind of quick hits on tour and then they're going in depth once every week, I think, once every four or five shows. You know, they got good analysis. And then they'll introduce you to like 50 indie bands that you've never heard of.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I think at some point by the end of this tour, we'll all get together and, you know, we HF Pod people will all talk about what happened on this tour. And
yeah.
I'd like to think that by the end of it, we're going to really have, an interesting story to tell. So I think one is unfolding.
I think so too. And you know, I think we should tell the audience about the text exchange that we had all day yesterday, because I think it's a discussion point worth talking about. But I guess the other thing I would say is that Brad and I did the second, Osiris Couch Report on Wednesday, which was really fun. And we had Chirons with our name on it and everything. And
fancy.
You, Jonathan, and Matt and I will be doing it next Saturday night, I think around 7 o'clock, an hour before the show starts, from Matt's advanced basement studio in Alexandria. So people should tune into that because that'll be a good time.
And by next Saturday, you don't mean this Saturday. You mean the Saturday of the Atlanta shows.
Yes, Saturday, August 4th. Yes. And people can go to youtube.com/Osiris Media or check out Relix's YouTube. And we appreciate Relix, you know, pushing all of our stuff out there and helping us get going with it. It's been fun. I think we're going to keep busting out more cool features. That's my goal.
You know, where they can learn about those cool features is if they go to osirispod.com and sign up for the newsletter.
That's true. That's where all of our features are.
Plus, they can follow on the Twitters and all of that stuff. So.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So, Jonathan, there's a funny thing about opinions, you know, and it's that people have them about music all the time.
I just want to warn the listeners that this is where RJ and I are about to fight.
Jonathan, what was your impression of the two nights of Bill Graham and particularly the second night, having watched Wednesday and listened to Tuesday?
Yeah. My impression of it the first night was that it was pretty good. It was pretty good. There was some good stuff there. Not super, super deep, but great stuff throughout the first set. The second set, the song I heard, The Ocean Scene, Mercury, Carini, Chunk was outstanding. And Nice Coil to close it out. Good song selection, what have you. But the second night, the one we're really here to talk about.
Yes.
I think that is a keeper show. I think the first set is a little up and down for a variety of reasons. I know why people might not like this song or that song or what have you, and we're never all going to agree on a set list. But the second set is so good that I think it makes up for that. That's what I think, in a nutshell.
I think that's fair. Well, I guess just first on the first sets thing, I think almost all of the first sets so far have been sort of meandering at times. I know both the Tahoe shows had like first sets that kind of went through a series of songs and nothing notable happened. And that's fine. That's what first sets are for. But then I think 2017, I think, just spoiled Phish fans, because I think we are expecting more, you know, and as we always talk about, expecting more is not a great recipe for success. In terms of concert viewing, but you know, we're expecting like the Jam Night Lawn Boy or whatever every first set or whatever people are hoping for, and that just kind of so I think 2017 has really spoiled Phish fans, and I think you're right, like the both second sets had great parts. I think the Carini from the first night was so intentional from the way I was looking at it. And I had a great vantage point, just good seats and whatnot. But there's not a bad seat in that place. It's definitely a place I would go back to, and I recommend anyone who hasn't been there, go see Phish there. It just seemed like Trey was very intentionally building up that jam for like 15 minutes, you know, and that's like getting into that Bliss jam areas where he's most comfortable, I think. And it was just, that was like really cool to watch, because you kind of knew it was coming. It was like a long but patient kind of build up. The second night, I think you're right. The first set, didn't do a lot for me, except for the part where most people started sitting down, which was the backwards down the number line into More, which are two songs that I, you know, I'm a sucker for that kind of shit. But those two songs, I love those songs, and well, I thought they were great.
Well, can I let's take on this first set in a little more detail. Mm-hmm. I love Roger, and I don't care if you don't say it. I tweeted this yesterday. If you don't say the name of the song in the song, then you can't tell me how to pronounce it.
Even if even the guy who can't, nope. owns the rights to it?
Not 20 years later. No, sorry. Cool. I've been calling it that since 1998. So, too bad.
Fair enough. We should ask the rest of the band.
No.
We should ask Paige,
doesn't matter what
Mike,
they think.
And Fishman.
Doesn't
what
matter
if they're what all on your side, dude?
Hey, well, that'd be great, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, but I love that song. I like it as an opener. However, I can see some people in the show taking that as being too kind of low-key a launch. I can get that.
Yeah, it built up, and obviously it's a beautiful, you know, beautiful song and a great, once they get to the instrumental part, you know, it's beautiful. It picked up quickly. I think it was just the way they started it seemed quieter than usual. And I think everyone like, you know, going nuts and having them just sort of like drop into a very soft version of a somewhat slow song was not what people were expecting. But again, like that's, you know, that's everyone else's problem.
Then they
not
follow
Phish's.
It with Tube.
Yep.
And that's rocking. And ICU is, it's a good song. I don't,
it's fine.
Wouldn't understand why people wouldn't like that. Jim, it's a quality, not greatest ever, but quality version of Jim.
Yeah, that was what I was. That was my call for the opener, and it almost was, but almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. Have you heard that expression?
I have heard that expression.
I think that's only for old people, but yeah.
Or Silent then, is okay. I don't think it's a great version, honestly, of Silent in the Morning.
I'm not one to like question Fish's song choices. I really do. I usually don't because I don't. There's nothing. There's no point to it, really.
Are you a Fish fan?
But you know, like whatever they. I say on Twitter all the time, mostly to troll people, but also because I believe it that like they're gonna play what they want to play. You have nothing to do with it. So either go along with it or find a different thing to do. You know,
that's the truth. I just would say that, you know, the people who may be doubting hearing Horse Silent here probably should realize that they would really dislike it in the second set because they and I know that because they complain about it when it happens.
Well, my caveat to what I was all just saying that whole thing is that I feel the opposite about this because like it was just such a questionable like place, you know, to drop that in. I just wonder what was like if it was like, wow, this crowd just seems like they're having fun. We should play a really slow song, five songs in.
But I wonder if it's more that they felt that indoor show, smallish venue, compared to, you know, coming out of the Gorge, that maybe they felt they could get away with that stuff in, you know, sort of a more intimate feeling environment.
Yeah, could be.
New Mike song followed. I don't dislike that song.
Keeping it real.
Yeah, I kept it real.
He was the lyrics are pretty funny about how he's like, you know, a big rock star. Like when he's waiting in line for his coconut cold brew, just kind of funny. So like sort of self derogatory, you know, sort of stuff. Not derogatory, but you know what I'm talking about. Whatever the other word is.
Yeah. Well, and we're probably taking too long on this, but drivers. Pretty and good to see. Nice of them to acknowledge the sign, the banner that was hanging up there.
Not a song you hear, obviously, very often, but the lyrics, again, a great, great Tom Trey, you know, combo. Oh, yeah. I think the lyrics are just, they're great. And probably a little bit overlooked just because it's not played that often, you know?
Right.
And I mean, if you think we're taking too long in the first set, we've had several people reach out to us in the past, like 12 hours, asking us, like, where's the quick hit? So, you know, you want a quick hit. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, we're trying to do it right.
It's not very quick.
Yeah. Saw It Again. Good song. I like Saw It Again. It was bound to happen at some point. Somebody I talked to was complaining about the technical, you know, timing or blah, 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 and the way it was played. And I don't know. I feel like that song should be played as sloppy and fuzzy as possible.
It was. I would obviously not have minded if they played it for another, you know, 7 to 22 minutes. But,
right.
But it was fun to hear. It was bound to happen, like you said, mostly because of, or to me at least, because of the webcast stuff, right?
Right.
I found it a little bit like heavy-handed, only because it was like the first night of a free webcast. So I think they're playing into that. But it's always a cool song to hear in a second set. Remember those versions? You know, back in the late '90s, like those were, man, you could like barely escape one of those with your head on straight. But you know, it's still fun to hear, like you said.
Yep. And you know, I've been raving about Ocelot from this night, and what was it, I think it was the Gorge, the other Ocelot, and
Tahoe was the other one.
Tahoe. And but yeah, you know, they're both very similar. They're almost exactly the same length, and they're really nice, so I can't complain if they keep doing them that way. But
yeah, they're a little bit off the beaten path of the southern rock style, right?
Yeah, they give it just a little bit of stretch, but they're really just like adding the same, I don't know how many bars it is, 16, 24, whatever, same chunk of time to it. I think it's successful. I don't think Waking Up Dead was especially successful.
Mm-mm. Nope. I do think that I was watching from like sort of the side stage, and it looked like it was Trey's idea. Because I think he was like going over to them and maybe Mike just was like, okay, let's do it. But it seemed like Mike had some challenges, and they all kind of had some challenges with it. So, you know, that happens.
Happens. And then Number Line into More to wrap up the set. You already talked about that. I don't disagree with you on that. I like those songs, and they're fun. More is a good set closer. And then and then set two. Holy crap.
So yeah, the rookie.
Right. Second outing for Set Your Soul Free, and they take it deep, type two.
Yeah, it was really cool. And very, when I listened back yesterday, I remembered that it was actually incredibly dance worthy. Almost the entire jam, there was like this slowed down space funk section that was probably like, I don't know how long it was. It felt like it was forever. And we were just dancing like robots, and it was awesome.
I don't think I can top that. I will say I really like listening to it. I was talking with some people on Twitter just this morning. And you know, there are people complaining that jams like this don't have the shreddy Trey lead action that you used to get on the big jams in the 90s or even just a few years ago.
Right. Well, those people might want to consider maybe, you know, going to see Humphries
or just moving into the future, because Trey is a human that changes and Fish Band is a band that changes. Although you get a little bit of that in the Gorge Chalk Dust, you know, this, you get far less of it. And what you have is really democratic, you know, Floydian space jamming. And it's rad.
Yeah,
I think. And it lands nicely into a good really twist. Cool.
I tweeted right after that, the end of that jam, that Trey always has his perspective. I think you might disagree with this, but you know, I'll give you jams, but I will give you the jams I want to give you, you know? And that was a good example of that. I feel like that happens sometimes. And, you know, like we talked about, I think, on the first Couch Report and many times since, like the new songs are becoming more likely jam vehicles. Although maybe that's always been the case with, you know, Twist and,
they did it with
Piper in 97. Yeah. But even going back to the 90s, right? I mean, when those new songs came, they were just new jam vehicles. So, pretty cool. But, and then what was after that?
Twist, which is good.
Yeah. Twist.
Makasupo, which is always fun, and it's not taking a lot of time out of your set. So
it's always good to hear that the twist jam was short, but like really good while it lasted. But I think fan art Pete said it never had a chance, which I sort of agree with. It was like the placement of it and the way the set was going. It was not going to be, you know, more than a 9 to 10 minute jam, which happens. But 9 to 10 minute jams are, you know, if you're sad about that, then, you know, I don't really know what to tell you.
Well, then you might be in the wrong era of Fish. So yeah, then a little Makasupo, and then speaking of 10 minute jams, Sense. No intro on Sense and Subtle Sense.
No intro, but straight into it.
Great jam.
It was good. It was very good. Very good. 10 minutes, right? It was like a 10 minute. We're gonna do a 10 minute thing. And then, so this is where I like again questioning the selection of songs here. In the last,
fight you on this.
That's fine. But the last three, right? What was next? Wedge.
So no, hang on. Sense goes into What's the Use?
Yes.
And
fair.
It's beautiful. And
I will not complain about hearing What's the Use twice in a week. But I think some people would, and I
some
think
people
that
have
seeing in different venues the way that it becomes silent is, and then it builds back up is awesome. Like that's fine. I know that people think that it's more special when it happens less frequently, but again, that's not really for you to decide. It's not really for us to decide.
But you know, I'll also counter, and this applies to another song on the show, is that if they only play it once or twice a year, they're not going to play it as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh no. Are we going to talk about Possum?
No. I mean, but that's not what I'm talking about.
Okay, good.
So then they play the Wedge, and the Wedge is fun. Wedge is good.
I mean, I love the song. It's a great song, but
you just had a 16-minute jam sequence, basically, you know, Sense into What's the Use. You've just had a pretty big, like, instrumental sequence of awesome. Mm-hmm. So let's play a song.
Play a song.
It's a good song.
They did that.
Old school song.
Yep.
And then they play Possum, and I will die on this hill. Somebody offered to die on a different hill regarding this song, but this Possum is outstanding.
That's fine. I think that's fine. I think it's fine. I think an outstanding Possum is like just a little bit hard to wrap my head around. But I do, I agree. I mean, it's like Trey was feeling it the whole night. It was cool to watch from the side because you guys saw, you know, webcast, like he was jumping around and rocking out, having a blast. Like there's no doubt that was high energy and that he was excited.
Gets a little weird, but stays tight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great way to close the set.
Again, this is a me thing, you know, this is the thing about opinions is that everyone has them and everyone else is confused by everyone else's. But, you know, I don't love Possum, you know, I never have. I've seen it. I don't even know how many times, 30, maybe more. And like, it's just fine. Like it's fine. You know, I think it's that I know exactly what's going to happen. And it's just like,
except you don't like this Possum, you know, while it resolves in the same way, the path up the mountain there is, or down the mountain, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess he says he's driving down, whatever, is a little different.
That's fair.
It's great.
I think our listeners should help us resolve this and tweet at us or send us a message. Pro Possum, anti Possum, indifferent. And also, what'd you think of this version?
And then, and so then they encore with the lizards and it's lovely.
That was cool. That was really cool. And again, like, I think my only complaint, I guess, about the show is those last few songs, especially, it doesn't matter why, but those last few songs, I thought because of the two nights at Bill Graham, the end of the last set, like that they were going to do something crazy, you know?
And that's, you mean like play First Tube exactly the same as the last time they played it?
No, maybe something else. What about Bathtub Gin? Oh,
yeah.
Well, anyway,
yeah, that'd have been okay. But that, you would have seen it twice in four shows and you would have complained about that. So
I would not have complained. I'm not even complaining. I'm just having opinions. Yeah. It's different.
I'm just referencing your text to me from yesterday.
Okay, listen, I'm not complaining. I'm just expressing an opinion. Just because I think that one show is better than the other doesn't mean I think that one was bad, you know? But I will say that I think the more shows you see, the more critical
repeats
you become.
And I
think it's like, it's kind of a conundrum of being a Phish fan, right? Like the more, if you only see one show a year, like you're probably going to go in and be like, I don't care, you know, like just play music and play it well. Although maybe there are people who only see one show a year and want to see all the things they want to see. I guess it probably goes both ways. But I think the fact that I saw four shows in a week and I was really lucky to do that, it probably made me more, you know, critical on the last night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's my fault, not Phish's, you know. I like Phish.
Let the record show that it's RJ's fault.
All right. What do you want to play? Do you want to play some Possum for the people?
You know what? I think that would be awesome. A little Possum for the people.
Possum for the people.
Yeah. Because you, right, you all watched it on the webcast. You saw the Set Your Soul Free. And so here's a little Possum. Good closer for the day.